Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hey, it's Boomer.
And Geo.
Boomer and Geo is both a radio show and a podcast. You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by individual hour, or jump straight to the highlights. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Boomer and Geo, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
Even though clinching a postseason spot for them has become mundane, I know not the team itself, they celebrated last night as they should, but just from our perspective, well, of course the Yankees are going to make the postseason, they always do. Yeah, but that's the key. That's the thing that should be celebrated, even though we have higher expectations and aspirations. Go win a division, which is still there for the New York Yankees. Go win a World Series for the first time since 2009. It is, to me, important to stop and celebrate the checkpoints, used that word earlier, along the way, especially when you look at what's gone on across town with the Mets fighting their way to barely hang on to a postseason spot for the second straight year, while you have the Yankees, who of the last 30-plus years have made the postseason every year except for five of them. So congrats for the Yankees on sustained success as an organization.
And no question, congrats. I got to tell you, this has turned into, and I didn't see this coming from a mile away at certain points this year, this has turned into one of my favorite Yankee teams in a while.
What?
I really mean that. No, and I'm not talking about like 96 or 98 or 99 or 2000. I don't mean that. But, I mean, think about some of these teams that we've been complaining about. Yeah.
But this year was largely miserable.
That's why I said they're turning into one of my favorite teams, because they have grit, and I love grit. And one of the things about the Yankees is that they've been, they're very corporate, very Brooks Brothers, very conservative by nature. And they've shown some resilience and some toughness. And other teams have shown that in the past. I'm not saying that none of them have had that, but it's been an unexpected surge. And I always appreciate those years. I've said before, now listen, of course the goal is to always win a championship, and there's going to be a million debates and discussions coming up the next month as they try to do that. But to me, some of the more enjoyable seasons are unexpected ones, where it kind of comes out of nowhere. And all I could do is go back to my mindset when they were kicking it all over the field, when they were a mess on the bases, when Fried was had like 8 or 9 starts in a row that were horrendous. And I just didn't think Stanton wasn't back yet. They didn't have a third baseman yet. Caballero wasn't here yet. Volpe was a mess. I just didn't think the Yankees had any juice here. And when you really look at all the factors coming into the year, they lost Gerrit Cole, who's a Hall of Famer. Luis Gil was out most of the season. Obviously, Clark Schmidt is a very good around baseball back in the rotation starter. You lose Juan Soto, who would, whatever Mantle and Maris looked like, or Yogi and whomever, or Reggie and Munson and Nettles, whatever those guys looked like together, Soto and Judge were better. So you take away all that. I didn't really know what to expect this year. And the unexpected stories, whether it's Grisham, whether it's Ben Rice's emergence, whether it's Rodon solidifying his New York stint here after a horrendous start, it has been a fun season.
Yeah, well, I can't go there and say it's been a fun season. Literally, I just said a week ago, it has not been a fun season for either team. So I wouldn't say fun, but I would say that if they win the division, which they still can do, and I actually believe they're going to do it now more than ever, and I believe that they were going to do it for a while, outside of losing to Minnesota last week, that was the one I was like, I don't know, maybe it seems too daunting right now. If they win the division, that would be as sweet a division win as you could have, with the Blue Jays talking trash, their manager, the Blue Jay broadcasters talking trash, getting into it with Michael Kay, ripping the Yankees, and here we are with 5 games to go. The Yankees just 1 game back of Toronto. Toronto going to be facing Garrett Crochet tonight, taking on the Red Sox yet again. Obviously, they have the tiebreaker, so that favors them. It's kind of like 2 games. But the Yanks here, you can make a case they could run the table, go 4-1, and win the division. That, to me, would be sweet and fun and change the entire outlook of the postseason. You can talk about Yankees having not only the bye, but home field throughout the playoffs.
It's a massive few days here. I mean, it really could change quite a bit. Now, I don't love playing great baseball and then not playing for a few days. Like, that's a different discussion. Like, what's better, to be hot and keep going, or to get a 4 or 5 day respite and then have to you know, get back in the flow? I don't know the answer. There's equal parts, you know, and equal evidence both ways, so I don't really know the answer. But even if they don't catch Toronto, let's say Toronto wakes up and that wins 4 or 5 and the Yankees win 4 or 5, Yankees don't win the division. Either way, provided they finish the season strong, these final few, the Yankees have played really good baseball for over a month,
right.
And that's got to make Yankee fans feel awesome. Good stuff.
By the way, you know, I just mentioned Blue Jays broadcasters getting it to Michael Kay, and you just said in the segment before that Michael Kay would be a celebrity that you would want at your wake. How about Stephen A.? I mean, that's your guy.
It is. Well, you know, I feel like Stephen A. might make it about himself.
Oh, okay. All right.
You know?
Fair enough. I didn't know if that name. I was,
you know,
just like,
saying?
Oh, thinking about,
yeah,
it.
No,
okay.
I appreciate you going back to the 3RQ. Like, you know, Stephen A., I don't know. He might go into a bit on the Knicks. I just feel like
I
feel like Michael would introduce me in a good way and just kind of keep it moving.
Okay, that was something I should have brought up before, but I didn't. Keeping it moving here. We also talked about the Mets and their big win last night. I am not getting fooled by it. It was a great win, sure. There was a lot of bad in that great win. Now, let me rephrase that. Any win at this point is good for the Mets. It was a great comeback. You used the term character win.
No question.
Fair enough. Coming back from down 6-1. My issue is getting down 6-1 to begin with and then taking all that it took to hang on and win that game. 2 innings of Edwin Diaz using 6 different relievers where you still got 5 games to go and starting pitching that has been an issue all year long. You're going to have to go to that bullpen again. Like, Diaz is not going to be available for 2 innings tonight. How the hell are you going to close out a game against the Cubs? So while it was a great win, while it feels easy today for Mets fans to say, okay, exhale, we're going to be in the postseason spot. They control their own fate yet again, whatever it may be. I'm still not believing, and with just 5 games to go, a lot can happen. They only have a game lead over 2 teams as the Diamondbacks came back and won a big game last night. 1 game lead over 2 teams that each own the tiebreaker. Those are huge factors here. I just don't trust the Mets to get this job done.
And listen, all the veterans that you were entrusting the season with, I mean, they've imploded. I mean, Senga's in the minors. Manaea has been horrendous. Peterson's been basically worse these last however many starts here. So you're leaning on young kids with no track record, and sometimes ignorance is bliss. I mean, sometimes that's a liberating thing where you just don't feel the pressure because you're so young. You know, I don't think McClain's going to feel any pressure, but Tong certainly did after that one rough start when he was choking up and he showed a side that was vulnerable, and then he bounced back. So I get the lack of belief in this team. And man, I'm going to play the semantics game with you, but I don't feel like it's one thing to say that they're not good enough but I don't even think Met fans are enjoying the individual win last night.
Right.
You didn't enjoy it. Hoff didn't enjoy it.
Well, I'm sure
it.
A lot of fans do.
Met fans didn't even enjoy the game last night. You guys went down 6-1.
I think they've made it so bad here and frustrated. Like, I can only speak for myself. Hoff can speak for himself. I have been believing in this team for a long time. And then I just got to a point where I couldn't do it anymore. And I lost total belief. And they're going to have to earn my trust back. And once they, if they do celebrate and clinch and celebrate, maybe I'll be excited about it. Maybe I'll be happy to watch some postseason games. Right now, I've had my fill with this team. And even in the win last night, there's a lot of aggravation. Soto misplaying a ball in right field. The win, they're not. Unacceptable. Nimmo in center field should never happen. Marte in left field, like, what are we doing?
McNeil 2 errors.
Okay, sloppiness all over the place. You got Peterson who can't get anybody out all of a sudden. You go from all-star to can't get anybody out. So there's a lot of inconsistencies throughout with this team. If I believe that they were going to score 7-8 runs a night, different story. I don't believe that that's going to be the case. So I just, that's why, yes, even within the individual win, I can't, it's not fooling me. I'm not letting myself get to the point where I believe in this team yet. They're going to have to earn that back over the final 5 games.
But did you think that last year's team would go to the CS?
No, I didn't, but there was more reason to believe in that team going to the playoffs. I did believe they were going to be a playoff team. I forget from what point on, but you and I had that talk where I was like, from June 3rd, basically the opposite of this year, or from May for June on, the Mets have been the best team in baseball, so they're going to go to the postseason, and always held out that belief. And they did get to the postseason. Did I think they were going on a run? No, but they did go on a run. There were reasons to believe. This team, it's quite the opposite. Once they get MBT, maybe that's something different, but I don't believe they're getting in. BT and Sal on the Fan. Our friends at Town Fair Tire remind you that at Town Fair Tire, you always get the guaranteed lowest price on name brand tires from Connecticut to Maine. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. Back to the calls here, both the Yanks and the Mets. We'll do Giants coming up in a little bit as we'll hear from Brian Daboll talking about the decision to bench Russell Wilson in favor of Jackson Dart. Frank is in White Plains. What's up, Frank?
Hey, Sal.
Yes.
You're 100% right. This team, you can't trust him anymore anyway. This is really ridiculous. Even last night with a win, you know, was 6-1 or whatever it was. And the feeling is not there anymore for this team. far as the Yankees goes, I'm telling you, I look the Yankees, they're going to go all the way, right to the World Series, because nobody out there in an American League to beat him. They're the best team in American League.
Yeah, I mean, they might be. Listen, the thing about the Yankees, and this, you know, just because we're talking about both teams here, thanks for the call there, Frank, appreciate it. Like, the Yankees starting pitchers go out there every night and they give you a chance to win. Every single night. You know, even Will Warren, who's had, you know, several eyesore games for the most part as a rookie, I mean, he's had some really, really dominant games in terms of a few earned runs and a lot of strikeouts. You know that Freed's been really good outside of a few starts there. Rodon, I think, has been the most consistent Yankee pitcher all year. Schlittler looks like a potential future ace. And obviously, Luis Gil, who's been a little erratic with his control, but has filthy stuff and is good. So when you get to that part, now you like, and that's the component that you need. And maybe if the Mets had a little more starting, like maybe if Manaea was a horse and Peterson was still pitching well, maybe there'd be more conviction. Because if you don't have a chance to put up zeros early, now you're playing from behind. Now the bullpen, now the stress on the hitters. I get it. It's been a complicated road for the Mets, but I do think the difference with the Yankees, and they might be the best team in the American League, and maybe in baseball, their pitching is good.
Well, who's gonna beat them? So think about it. For me, from my perspective, I thought that there were a couple of dangerous series from the Yankees. It's not that I wouldn't want to face Boston in the first round, but I think that that's a dangerous, tough series facing the Red Sox. Even though the Yankees would be at home if they do play them in the wild card round, that's a potential tough matchup. The pitching, the manager core, like the Red Sox.
Yeah, I agree with that. Crochet. I don't want to face them if I don't have to.
That might not happen.
I know.
And if that doesn't happen, that eliminates one series that could have been dangerous.
Yep.
The others to me would have been Seattle, which still could happen. What's the status with Brian Wu, who's a nasty pitcher. I love him. He had a great
I don't know about his status, actually.
Yeah, I think he was banged up a little bit. Anyways, Seattle, but okay.
Yeah.
Seattle could be
supposed
tough.
To beat him.
Seattle could be tough. Are they the Yankees?
He's supposed to beat him.
And then Detroit, who has fallen off a cliff.
Like, they're a mess.
The Mets, a lot of people use the term collapse and the Mets and what's going on here. I wouldn't. What Detroit has done is collapse. That is a freaking collapse of epic proportions. They've lost seven in a row. They finally got caught by the Guardians, who were just steamrolling them.
They were up 10 games on September 9th, I think the number was. 10.
Dude, that's a collapse. So now, I don't even know if Detroit's going to be in the postseason. And let alone, like, let's say they do make it. Are they still the threat? And
by the way, with Scooble, they would be.
Did you see Scooble last night?
I did see that.
Hit Fry in the face.
Jeez.
And Scooble's reaction afterward was understandable.
Yeah, of course.
Drilling somebody square in the face. Like, honestly, Fry, he's got to get the bat on the ball there, dude.
I know. At 95 miles per hour, right in the face.
I know, but you got to look at the ball and put the bat on it. Or get out of the way.
Get on the guy and take one off the schnoz. He tried.
Yeah, he stared at it.
The ball's moving, man. It's hard to bunt that.
Oh, come on, BT. Guys come up and in all the time with that. Either get out of the way of the ball or hit it with the bat.
I'm just saying.
He let it hit him square in the face. Now, obviously, it's a horrible thing.
Yeah.
But my main point was Scooble's reaction afterward made me think that he might be shaken by that.
He was shaken.
Yeah.
He was very shaken, and you appreciate that reaction.
Because
that speaks to the humanity within the game. That was terrifying, dude. Right, Coniglio, who got hit with the Red Sox in the 60s?
Coniglio?
Yeah, there you go. Dickie Thon. I remember I was watching the game when Dickie Thon got buzzed by, I think that was Mike Torres.
I remember Stanton getting hit in the face.
Giancarlo Stanton
wasn't
with the Marlins.
Wasn't that the pitch that he swung at? Because I remember getting on Stanton, too, for thinking, dude, you swung at it. And it hit. Remember then after that, he had to wear that protection.
Have the thing. You know what I don't get? And this is why these guys are superhuman. And eventually, David Fry is going to get back in the batter's box. I don't know how you take one off the face at mid-90s or upper 90s and dig back in the batter's box without being terrified.
I don't
think that I could do that.
It happened to me.
I don't know.
It happened to me in Little League at third base. I think I told you the story, but it ruined whatever chance I had to be good.
With on a ground ball?
No. Covering third base as a third baseman.
How old were you?
They were 10, whatever.
Right,
maybe
so the ball
young.
Didn't have a ton of steam on it, hopefully, at
catcher
age 10,
had,
right?
Catcher had a good arm.
Yeah.
It was weird. I can remember it.
Go ahead.
Was going to cover third, but also looking back at the runner. Because everybody's yelling, he's going.
Yep.
And I turn around, he wasn't going, and the ball hit me in the face before it could get a glove up.
Yep.
And I just remember being scarred by that. Ever since then, I was afraid of the ball. Now, that's at lower levels.
Where'd it hit your cheekbone?
Yeah, I had a nice shiner for even my school picture for a while.
Are you serious?
It was blown up. Yeah, cheekbone. So, again, my mistake, but it scared the forever. I was always never like fully confident stepping in the batter's box, whatever it may be. So yeah, even at, now you're talking about at the major league level, your confidence is great because you're a major leaguer.
Clearly.
But you're getting hit with 99 in the face. I could see how that would shake a player.
Yeah.
No matter what.
I don't know how you don't flinch or bail out a little bit. That's why they're different than we are. It's the bottom line.
It's in your mind.
I was scrolling this morning and I saw, I was watching the both teams last night, and then I was on my phone for a sec. I really don't open my phone too much at night. I just want to see what was going on, like the Reds game and whatever. And I see this on social media. I'm like, you got to be kidding me. And I'm like, I don't even want to watch this. I had to watch it to see if there was any like deflection off the bat. I watched it. And then I'm like, my God. And then it was about 30 seconds, and he was still on the ground. Now, eventually, we walked off under his own power, which is amazing. That's really the grace of God at that point, because you could have been dead. But then this morning when I was looking for something, I saw it, and it somehow popped up, and I just rolled. I'm like, I can't even watch this.
Is he okay?
Again.
Do we know?
He's going to be all right.
Okay, good.
He walked off basically under his own power. God, 95 in the face.
I couldn't see it clearly when I watched the first replay on my phone real quick, but the reaction from Schoolball is like, wait, what happened here? Yep. And then you zoom in and you just see a direct shot. Oh, man. Jeez. Anyway, the point was that maybe Schoolball...
He's not there mentally if they face the Yankees.
Yeah, the way things have gone for the Tigers, they may not be there as a team, and now that happens... it could mentally take you out. Like, I wouldn't fear the Tigers anymore from a Yankees perspective. So to bring it back full circle here, I think right now, and they're probably the betting favorites, I would look at the Yankees as being the favorites in the American League.
And just to finish the thought why it could impact Schuble, and no matter how great you are, you know, if you, not that he's gonna turn to Rick Ankiel, not that he's not going to be able to throw a strike here, but he's probably going to be a little reluctant to throw up and in. And if you're, you know, when you are a pitcher who owns the inner half of home plate and you have elite stuff, and suddenly one-third of the batter's box is a little bit taken away because you don't want to hit somebody again, if that's what happens. Now, he might be like Roger Clemens and say, you know, at the end of the day, whatever, I'm just throwing wherever I want because that's what I do, and he'll be fine. But if he's reluctant to go inside, that's advantage hitter for sure.
BT and Sal on the Fan. Antonio's in Manhattan. What's up, Antonio?
Hey, what's up? How you doing, guys?
Good.
What's happening, man?
So, yeah, I just want to back up Sal. That look, I mean, he knows I'm a huge Mets fan. The thing is, look, I think you have to be delusional. I think I'm very skeptical about what, like, they can do. Look, if we follow the script, right, of what they've been doing, today they're going to probably lose. Again, like, they're probably going to have a lead, and then they're going to give it up, and that's going to happen today. And then tomorrow, you know, we're going to be with the same thing again. Not only that, I think... So as far as what BT saying, they're going to make the playoffs, I don't think so. And also, I think the Diamondbacks are going to be the team that's going to make the playoffs. I don't think Cincinnati has it. But I think this is the main thing. Even if they make the playoffs, look, the main three pitchers, right, Peterson, Minaya, and Senga, they're not there. So, I mean, you're relying on...
Well, they're not the main...
pitchers?
They're not the main... I mean, I'm with you, Antonio, to an extent, but they're not the main three pitchers anymore, those guys that you
mentioned. Thank you for the call.
McClain is the guy. Now, I don't trust Sproat or Tong. I need to see more. There's been inconsistencies there. Do I trust them more than I do Senga, Minaya, Peterson,
Holmes.
Do
you said Minaya, you said Peterson.
Senga, Minaya, Peterson. I do trust those guys more than the other three because they've earned it here recently, and that just speaks volumes to where the other three are at, not necessarily the rookies. I do not trust Tom. I don't know what to expect from Tom.
It's a little bit of blind faith. Yeah, okay. I understand that. Listen, when we were getting into it last week with Minaya and Tom, the reason I was saying I wanted Tom to pitch over Minaya is because he's got elite stuff. And everybody in baseball knows that. Now, does it translate the rest of the way? I don't know. It didn't translate when he didn't get out of the first inning two starts ago. I don't know. But I do trust, you know, his stuff that put him in the futures game, and I trust him a little bit more than Senga right now, who's a mechanical mess, and Peterson, who's batting practice, and Minaya, who's been all over the map. So I think, I guess what I'm saying is this. Imagine if Peterson, Minaya, and Senga began to peter out with, say, like 2 weeks to go in the season, and they were in the same predicament, but there was no emergence of McClain or flash from Sproat.
They'd be done.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. So it's a little bit of blind faith, but there's also a little bit of major league success to react to. That's got to give you a little bit of hope. Otherwise, they don't have a shot.
Could be good. I can't rely on stuff because Helsley's got great stuff, and look what happened to him. Like, point is, and this is what made me get to the conclusion where I didn't believe in them anymore. There aren't any great options. That's it. End of story. You can look at it. Oh, Peterson's going to start. I hated that idea. Well, who's going to start in place of him? Now, they're lucky to win a game like that, but there aren't any other options. Oh, well, okay, do you trust Tong? Not 100%, but he's by far their best option outside of Noah McClain.
You got to trust him tonight.
You have no choice. Well, I trust McClain tomorrow.
Yeah.
But do I trust the rest of the team behind him? I don't.
Well, the problem is, and we hit this before, you know, right now it's Mania Saturday, Peterson Sunday. There's no way that they'll do that. Zero.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey everyone, it's Boomer and Geo, and if you're into New York sports or you want straight talk about what's really going on in the sports world, Boomer and Geo is your show.
We're covering it all. Yankees wins, Giants drama, national headlines, and whatever chaos the day brings on the field and off.
No filler, no filters, just real conversation, and believe me, plenty of laughs every weekday morning.
We don't hold back, and we don't waste your time. We get to what actually matters.
That's Boomer and Geo, and you can listen on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
The one thing that I just want to hear, I don't want to hear any nonsense. I want to hear honesty. I don't know if we're going to get that from Dable. Usually there's a lot of coach speak and, well, you know, it's a collaborative effort, blah, blah, blah. I'd like to hear the truth about what went into this decision to make that move now to go away from their original plan, Russell Wilson, just 3 weeks in or after just three games in favor of the rookie Jackson Dart.
Well, I don't think we're getting the truth at all because, to me, there's two truthful options. Number one, he gets up there in a little bit. And he says, you know, the last couple of interceptions that Russell Wilson threw were absolutely repulsive and unacceptable. And he just railroads a future Hall of Famer, which he's not going to do. So that's not going to be one route. The other route would be, well, because I'm basically trying to save my ass here. So I think you're going to get a little bit of the coach speak that you don't want.
What if the truth is, well, you know what? Our quarterback play wasn't very good.
Mm-hmm.
And we feel, right now he's probably going to say this regardless, but we feel that Jackson Dart gives us the best chance to win games now.
Yeah.
But then the counter should be worried about his development. So we should get some good answers. I guess I just want to know how much of this decision was Dable himself, how much of this was ownership having narrow influence on it, how much of it was due to Russell Wilson's play or the fans begging for Dart. Like, those are all, if it's just Dable saying, I believe he's ready, and I believe he gives us the best chance to win. If that's the truth behind this move, then I'd be more okay with it.
Yeah, the problem is he could say that. We won't know until we see him on the field.
We won't believe it anyway.
You know, we won't believe it anyway.
Right.
You're absolutely right. And the thing is, this is a small thing, but hopefully somebody asks him because this would pique my curiosity. I brought it up yesterday before we found out that he was definitely going to make the move here. Was Winston considered? I want to hear the answer.
Right.
Was everything on the table, or is this it?
Yeah, I mean, I'm fascinated to hear what Dable has to say about this. I just hope that we get something good here. And Dable has been more open.
A little bit.
You know, after the losing, maybe getting a little nudge. Now, was that on Brian Dable? Was that somebody above telling him, hey, cut the crap? Like,
you know what? I just think it's I think it's a smart guy who understands the reality of he doesn't have a whole lot to stand on at this point. When your record is what it is, you got to be a little bit more honest, and you can't deflect, and you can't. Those press conferences don't work anymore.
You know, remember, too. Like, so for the same people who say, well, and by the way, everybody's excited about Jackson Dart. I'm excited to see him. We all can't wait to see him. Whether we think it's the right timing or not, that's a different story. But for all the people who are trusting the Giants' decision-making here, or for the Giants themselves to say, like, you know, we shouldn't be questioning their decision. Well, okay, in part, a large part of why everybody wants Jackson Dart was because they don't think Russell Wilson has been any good, right?
Mm-hmm.
Whose idea was it to sign Russell Wilson? Whose idea was it to sign Russell Wilson, to have him be your starting quarterback, and then believe that that was going to be a recipe to have some success? That was their idea. The Giants, Joe Shane and Brian Dable, they thought Russell Wilson was going to be good. Now, I don't think he's washed up myself, but if we're making a decision, I shouldn't say where, if they're making a decision to go away from Russell Wilson because he wasn't any good in favor of the rookie, that's also a knock on them because they are the ones who signed Russell Wilson to be their starter in the first place.
Okay, so there's a couple things there. Like the term washed up, and I think he's more washed than you do. Now, again, he can still throw the deep shot. We saw that against Dallas. When I just want to provide a little context here because I'm not trying to be disrespectful to Wilson. I think he's a little bit more washed up because I associate not willing to take a hit or to tuck it and run when some situations presented itself where he just doesn't quite have whatever it is, the willingness to take a hit, the ability to break free and run past somebody, whatever it is, maybe a combination of both. That's why I use the term. It's just a shortcut to say I don't think he's that good anymore. I'm not trying to be rude when I say washed, but I do think he's fairly washed at this point.
But you thought they could win some games with him.
I did, but then I saw him play two out of the three games. The Commanders game was bad. The other night was worse. And really, if we didn't see the sequence at the end of the game, I'd probably say run him out there one more game. It was so bad, and that's where I'm like, he just doesn't. He wants to get rid of the ball, man. You can't win with that.
But regardless of what you or I think, like, they're the ones who are actually making these decisions.
Yeah, but you
they felt that Russell Wilson was the right guy to bridge the gap. And the plan was to have him be their starting quarterback. So, like, in no way, shape, or form should they be absolved of that awful decision. If, in fact, that they're making this change because Russ isn't good enough. Okay, Russell Wilson isn't good enough. Well, I could have told you that. You're the ones who signed him in the offseason. Like, they should get a hit for that.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to dent them too much. You can, because they didn't make much of a financial commitment to him at all. If it was a move where, you know, like the Raiders getting Geno or Darnold getting some money like he did, or, you know, it was a nominal investment. I think we all knew what it was. I would say to me, what's, you know, not that it needs to come out in the press conference today, but since we're talking about their path to quarterback, to the quarterback room this year, I just think even the way they started with signing Winston was ass backwards. Winston was here before Russell Wilson.
Right. Well, they were waiting on Rodgers.
I know, but it was just, it's been very convoluted. In their defense, there's not many veteran options, let's face it.
Do you think if Aaron Rodgers were here instead of Russell Wilson, and he were playing the same way that he's playing with the Steelers here, now I doubt that anyway, but if he were doing that, do you think we'd be talking about Jackson Dart being the starter in week four right now?
No, but I don't think we'd be talking about the Giants being a really good team yet. I don't think we'd see that.
Aaron's
thrown a couple of interceptions, by the way. Yeah, and against the Jets, they were wide open touchdowns.
I'm not worried about them being a good. I'm just saying, do you think that we would be talking about Jackson?
No, we would. We definitely wouldn't.
Which then leads us to, if this decision is being made because you don't think Russell Wilson is any good, it's the wrong decision. You know what I'm saying? It's the wrong decision to go away from Russell Wilson to a rookie if you're basing it off of his play. It should always be about Jackson Dart. Always. If he is ready to go, and you firmly believe he's fully ready to go, then he should be your starter. And I don't believe that that's the case. I believe that they had a plan in place that even if they thought he was ready, they were going to ride Russell Wilson out, let him sit and learn, and now they're not doing that. And I do believe it's in part, at least, because of Russell Wilson's play, which to me is not the right decision to be making.
I'm going to meet you here. The front end of their play here, which is where we're at now, was not the front end of their play. This is an audible, and this is where they look sloppy and a little desperate, and hopefully it works out, right? I don't know what the back end of their play was. And to me, that's probably the more important part of the equation, because if they themselves, again, collaboratively, organizationally, wanted to play, believed that Dart could play at some point this year, final five games, final six, kind of doing Eli back in the day with Kurt, well, then it wouldn't make sense to bring Rodgers in, because Rodgers would have been better than Russell Wilson, and it would have been tough to justify benching Rodgers if you had the intention of playing Dart at some point this season. I think that they always thought they were going to try to get to Dart, which is why I think it was easier to say, all right, let's do this Band-Aid. Easier to bench Russ than bench Aaron Rodgers.
Kingsley's calling from Brooklyn. What's up, Kingsley?
How you guys doing? I came in ready to talk about one thing, and then Sal just got me thinking about this. Russell Wilson going for Ben. Brian Dable's known for Josh Allen, right? He had big success with Josh Allen. Big body, big arm. So when they got Jameis Winston, I'm like, yes, you finally know your identity. You know what you are. But then they got Russell. And I think that was a panic move just in case they didn't get Dart. But once they got Dart, they should have traded Russell, because Russell doesn't fit in that.
I know that that was for Sal, but I would just push back quickly. I don't think Jameis Winston fits the profile of Josh Allen at all. Like, he's big and he lets it rip, but I mean, Josh Allen's an athlete. Jameis Winston's not. He can't run at all.
Yeah, I mean, look, the idea of having Jameis Winston, who is a career backup, basically, be the starter until you go with the rookie, that would have been a different setup in my mind. The plan would have been, okay, well, we're just having this guy for a few games before we go over to Dart. Once you get Russell Wilson and you have Jameis Winston, and then you trade up aggressively to go get your quarterback, which was the right move, to me, there was a plan in place to have him sit and watch and learn for a while. And obviously, that's not the case. All right, so we're going to get bits and pieces here of Brian Dable. Hoff says we got the first soundbite. Let's listen to Dable addressing the media today.
Quarterback situation. I met both with Russ yesterday and Jackson privately. And Russ was nothing but a pro, which I'm expecting to be. My decision, I'm going with Jackson. We're going to get him ready to play this week and the remainder of the season. He's going to do everything he can. Russ will be the backup. The conversations that I've had with these young men will be private. The details will be private. All I can tell you is we're going with Jackson, and we're getting ready to play. So I'm not going to add too much to it. Those are private conversations. It's my decision, and we're going with Jackson.
Yeah, already I'm not buying it. Like a predetermined or a pre-written statement right there already. Now, there are going to be follow-ups that we're going to get the answers to when they're going to say, okay, well, why? It's a simple question. Why this decision? You can keep the conversations private. I don't need to know how Russell Wilson feels. I know how he feels. He feels like crap. Yeah. He feels hurt. He's probably pissed off. Like, we know how. So I don't need to hear what he and how Jackson Dart feels. He's excited for the opportunity. Like, I don't need to know those conversations. Well, that's well within Dable's rights to keep that private. What we should know is what went into this decision.
Well, I don't trust a lot about the Giants these days. I don't, okay? Talking about the influence that we all believe came with Jones and Mara a little bit, you know, a couple of years ago. How do we know? I mean, listen, the first thing that popped into my mind was, is Dable just saying that? Like, did Mara go to him and say, hey, this is your problem, man. Right. I mean, this is your mess. You better fix this. Well, keep my name out of it. You better own this.
The fact that he mentioned at least twice in there.
Twice.
That this is my decision.
Did he oversell it?
Yeah, it makes
sometimes when you're lying, you oversell it.
Yeah, it makes me think I'm not buying it. I'm sure that it was in part his decision.
Well, of course. They didn't shove it down his throat.
Let's say, even though if we did say it would be ignorant, let's say the Mara had nothing to do with this. Now, I think that that's ignorant based on what's happened in the past, based on what we saw in Hard Knocks, based on what's happened, based on what Mara said. Let's just say that that's the case. Okay, if it is in fact Dable's decision, now there's another layer to it. Is he making this decision to save his ass? Like, that's another thing. My primary concern here is preserving and protecting Jackson Dart and making sure that when they do go to him, he's ready to go and he can take off and be the franchise quarterback for the Giants. That is my Sal Licata's singular goal.
Mm-hmm.
Can we say that about Brian Dable, that his singular goal is to go to Jackson Dart and protect him and make sure that he's going to do everything he can to put a foundation in place that Dart can succeed once he gets in? Can we say that definitively about it?
We can't say that, but we can't say the other way either. We don't know yet.
Right.
I mean, I know where my instincts are kind of leading me. Let's face it. I've used the term self-preservation for quite a while now. When your job is on the line, you kind of do things that maybe you wouldn't do, or you do them faster than you want to do them. So I don't know what's real, but what I tend to think is the truth is that it's probably a little bit of both, and he's trying to change the narrative around his job status.
Let's listen to more from Brian Dable.
It's a good decision.
Yeah. Again, those are conversations I have with each player. He's our starter. We're going forward with Jackson, and we're going to get him ready to play.
What do you expect from a coach?
Expect them to prepare. Expect him to go out here and get better each time he plays. It's not always going to be perfect, but I do think that he has the right makeup and athleticism. And look, we're going to do everything we can do to help him be the best player. I know he is as well. It's not just on one person. It's on the entire team. And that's what we're going to do.
All right, I know. Good job with this so far, Hoff. I know we're getting snippets here, right? So maybe we're going to get this at some point. But to me, one of the questions has to be, Coach, we understand and respect the private nature of the conversations, but was this always the plan? Was it always the plan to have Jackson Dart play in September?
Oh, but also they just asked why. And he said, I'm going to keep those conversations private. Why? You can't tell us why you're making this decision? You're changing everything after 3 weeks. Why is that the case?
Because he's trying to protect Wilson. Because Wilson's played, he had a rough game.
But then you could also just come out and say, look, we love Russ. We think he's valuable to the organization.
Yeah.
He's going to be dressed as our backup here. We just weren't getting the kind of play that we expected to get. And I think Jackson Dart's ready to take us to a new level. Like, there are ways to say it, even compliment Dart without putting down Wilson. We need to know why you're making this decision. It can't just be, oh, we'll keep those conversations private. Then why didn't you go to Dart earlier then? Well, what is it? Russell Wilson threw for 450 yards a couple weeks ago. So what happened there? Is he just not good? Like, there's got to be some kind of answers from somebody.
Well that's why. I'm sorry, Sal. That's why I think there's a creative way to get to the answers that we want. And to me, if you ask, was this always the plan? now it opens up the curtain and it's going to put a spotlight on everything. And now maybe he'll be able to talk his way out of it. And it was just, you know, hey, private nature, this, that, my decision, everybody's on board, blah, 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 the same old stuff. Okay, maybe we get that. Maybe we don't. Maybe he trips over an answer and he acknowledges something that he doesn't want to acknowledge.
You know what? Ultimately, like, we'll have fun breaking this down the rest of the way here whenever we get more sound from Dable. Ultimately, it doesn't even matter. What matters is, and this is why, like, the Giants organization, they could say whatever they want, do whatever they want. We could think one thing, whatever we want. People could break down film and talk about whatever they want, different opinions on social media, fans, me, whatever it may be. The reality is their record has spoken for itself for a long time. This is not people trying to make it like it's been bad with the Giants and we're speaking out of turn. Their record has been horrific. And it continues to be horrific, even when they, the Giants themselves, try to tell us it's going to be different. Now, you can erase all of that and just say from here on out, let's be excited about Jackson Dart and see what he could do. And that's ultimately what's going to matter. Not why they went to him, not what Russell Wilson thinks or what Dable says, how Jackson Dart's going to be. My issue is that based on past evidence, I don't trust that they're putting him in the right position to succeed. And that is going to be potentially another setback. I hope I'm wrong. I hope he goes in there, lights the league up, and takes off the start of the rest of the way. The Giants win a bunch of games. We could all be excited as a football town again about the Giants. But based on the way that Shane, Dable, Mara, the guys before them have handled things, I don't trust them.
They don't get the benefit of the doubt. They lost that. They lost that a long time ago when they stopped being the Giants.
And because now their horrific records.
Yeah, and their decision-making, which has been awful. Going back to Gettleman and the way they let Tom Coughlin leave and even the way they benched Eli and just some of the dumb things they've done in the draft. I mean, the Giants have been a train wreck. What do we care? If the Giants didn't wear blue and you put them in green, they'd be the Jets.
Right.
They basically have become the Jets. I don't know how else to say it. I mean,
But they make it sound like it's everybody else's fault.
Well, then that's their problem. Because then they got to look in the mirror and they got to understand that whatever they used to be, they're the exact opposite.
Well, Gettleman talked down to people.
Hey, Dable, Gettleman was a clown.
Dable's got that attitude. Shane a little bit. Like, they got that higher than the Giants themselves.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Oh, how dare a fan criticize the Giants team?
Or, I mean,
how dare a member of the media criticize somebody's performance? It's Big Blue. It's the Giants.
That's like walking around like Daddy Warbucks and you got $2 in your pocket. You got to understand where you're at. I mean, right now, the Giants are destitute, just to stay with the money analogy. They are a destitute franchise, and we all want to see them pull out of it, but until they start providing some evidence, I'm not believing anything.
And BT, they said they had a plan in place. They said they were happy with the quarterback room. They decided to start Russell Wilson. They were talking about the draft and how the drafts have been good in recent years. They were expecting to be competitive, and yet they've played three games, lost all three. I don't want to hear that you were close.
Big deal. Jets have been close to you. You didn't win a game yet.
You lost all three.
Yep.
And not only did you lose all three, now, after 3 weeks in which you lost every single game that you've played, now you're completely changing course and going to the rookie.
Which is why I ask, was this always the plan? That's the meat answer that I need right there. I need that answer.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. You bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, it's Boomer.
And Geo.
Boomer and Geo is both a radio show and a podcast. You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by individual hour, or jump straight to the highlights. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Boomer and Geo, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
Winning cures everything, BT, as always. So as long as Jackson Dart goes out there on Sunday and the Giants start to win some games and he looks good, you know, everybody's going to be excited about it. And it's just refreshing, finally, with the Giants after years of watching Daniel Jones and now obviously three games of Russell Wilson. Excited to see the future here. But they got to win. I mean, this regime, bottom line is they have to win. Whether it's with Jackson Dart now or in the future, near future, they're going to have to win some games. And that will get the conversation away from the mishaps of the Giants organization or even the inconsistencies with maybe their messaging from Brian Daboll and others.
I can't wait to see him play. Yeah. I mean, I'm really excited, like everybody else. Jet fan, Giant fan, football fan, New York fan, whatever. Let's see what the kid has. That's always exciting when a young player bursts on the scene and there's a lot of hype. And, you know, whether it's, you know, young Met pitchers back in the day or young pitchers now or when Judge came up. You just love seeing this. It's fun. And hopefully he delivers the goods. You just hope that, you know, as we've said a million times, I know it's overly repetitive at this point, I want to know what the motivation is. And if it's for the wrong reason, you know, the trajectory of the franchise can change one of two ways. He comes in, he balls out, everybody feels good, or he comes in, he looks overwhelmed, he regresses, and they ruin him. Like, that's also a possibility.
All right, let's listen to one more here on Brian Daboll. I believe the question was, is the slow start, the 0-3 start, how much did that factor into the decision?
How much does
there you go.
Thanks. And the pressure of that factor into the equation for you?
Yeah. Sorry, buddy. Thanks. Look, I did it. I'm not going to get into the specifics, like I said before. I think it's the right thing for our football team, and that's why I'm doing it.
You don't think you owe it to your fan base to tell it, to give an explanation?
There you go.
Why you're doing this now?
Yeah, I appreciate our fans. We got to do a better job all the way around, and that's what we're trying to do. Yeah, it's a long season, Dan. We've had three games. Haven't put it together all collectively and made the decision to play Jackson.
You know, I just don't understand, BT, why he's got to be such a you-know-what about this. Just answer the question. You don't have to give us every single detail. You're making a significant change. A change what's going away from your original plan just 3 weeks in. You got to give a reason why. We're just asking why. You got to give a reason why.
He doesn't, though. He's getting away with it. It's bothering us, but he doesn't have to. I mean, we wish that he did. I think it's weak that he didn't, but I'm not surprised that he didn't. It's frustrating.
Brian, you signed Russell Wilson to be the starting quarterback. Why are you going away from him after just 3 weeks? Is it his performance? Is it your record? Are you trying to save your job? Are you being told to do, like, there are different levels of the depths that I want answers to, but I understand you're not going to get all of them.
Yeah.
At the very least, you could say, look, We the results haven't been there. All you have to say really is we believe Jackson Dart gives us the best chance to win football games. That's all. I wouldn't even take that, but at least say that.
I can't believe he didn't say that.
He won't even give you that. That's a layup.
I'm not going to get into that, Sal.
Why? Why'd you make the decision?
I'm not going to get into that. I'm going to keep that private. Just us.
See, so that makes me think.
Yeah, I know where you're going.
That there's a lot more deeper stuff to it than
there
just...
There is! Of course there is! We know there is!
Why are you making the decision now? Well, because Mara told me to, and if I didn't do it, I'd be fired.
Like, yeah, you think he wants to make himself look weak? No!
Also, if he doesn't truly believe in... See, that's my fear. Forget about ripping Daboll for a second.
Yeah.
If Brian Daboll, the guy that John Mara hired to be his head coach, if he says... This is the plan that we need to stick with. Russell Wilson, we're riding this out for at least several, you know, a few more weeks, 4 or 5, whatever it may be. Trust me on this. Let's ride out with Russell Wilson. Regardless of the results, Dart's not ready. I want him to learn even more. Mm-hmm. Then we'll go to him. If that's his belief, then that should have been what should have been happening. Not Mara saying you need to start Dart now, or Shane or whoever saying you need to start Dart now. And the fact that the head coach won't give an honest answer on why makes me think that it's not, in fact, his decision. I'm sorry. Call me a skeptic. He said multiple times, it's my decision, it's my decision. I'm not buying it. If it's your decision, then why can't you just give me the answers why you made that decision?
All right, let me ask you a question. So I'm with you. It's frustrating. The Giant fans, that was Jordan Renan, right? That was a great question there. That was a great job about the Giant fans. Well done. So you know where I stand. I'm with you. But just to maybe look at it a little differently, to be fair to everybody, and not that we're unfair, but to see it from every angle. I mean, this is 2025, and this is what most coaches give you. Would it be any different in any other city? Is just the way these guys operate now, where they don't feel like they have to say anything, and they really don't?
You don't think the fans want to hear why they made the
That's
change?
Not what I'm saying. I know they do. I want to hear.
Yeah.
You want to hear.
Yeah.
Fans want to hear. But has this just become common practice in sport? These guys don't say anything.
I mean, a decision of this magnitude, it shouldn't be that hard. We're not asking to cover up some kind of crime or penalty or talk about something bad here. We're talking about why you made the decision to go to your rookie quarterback after the plan was clear that you wanted to start a veteran to have him lead the way after just 3 weeks. Why are you making that decision? It's a very simple, easy question to answer.
You know what I'm going to try to find during the break here? I'm going to try to find what Coughlin said when he went to Eli. I'm going to try to find those quotes.
Yeah.
Do a little search here. with AI should be able to come up with something. I'm curious how Tom Coughlin framed it.
Because from Warner to Eli.
Warner, Hall of Famer. Now, you know, I mean, obviously now, but at that point he was already champion.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hey, it's Boomer
and Geo.
Boomer and Geo is both a radio show and a podcast. You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by individual hour, or jump straight to the highlights. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Boomer and Geo, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.